Good morning, and welcome to the CyberSmart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Monday, May 25th, 2024. This is the CyberSmart Morning News Update. I'm your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. And as I was preparing for this particular episode, there was tons and tons of news from over the weekend. So I picked a couple that I think are interesting. Hopefully you'll find them as interesting as well. Was there more that happened over the weekend? Sure. But this is a short podcast. I couldn't fit it all in. So this is just stuff that was of interest to me that I hope is of interest to you. As always, there are plenty of other podcasts you can go to if you want to get more in-depth on other news stories. And I suggest you pick them all out. It's important to have multiple sources of information, not just one or two, because you'll get different perspectives from different people, and that's always valuable. Now, I had been doing some video stuff on this. There is no video for this episode until there's a huge call that I need to do it all the time. I will do it probably just on Wednesdays to kind of work through the mechanics of getting the video stuff down. So Wednesdays, maybe Fridays, but it depends. If I'm tired or not. If I got a lot of stuff going on, if I want to put it all together, I will. If I don't, unless again, until there's a huge call that like people can't live without it, it'll be just kind of a special present when it shows up. So as always, thank you so much for taking the time to download and listen to my online ramblings and so on. So let's get right into it. This is first one is from SC Media or SC Magazine rather.com. Laura French reporting. No, that's the wrong one. I'm sorry. That's what I'm going to do last. This is from theregister.com. So we'll get to the other one. Jessica Lyons reporting. Vans claims cyber crooks didn't run off with its customers' financial information. Well, that's great. However, clothing and footwear giant VF Corporation, who makes Van shoes, is letting 35.5 million of its customers know they may find themselves victims of identity theft following last year's security breach. Well, isn't that reaffirming if you're a Van customer? So in an email to customers, the Vans and North Face parent promised that crooks didn't swipe their credit card or bank account details. Okay. And it added, there's no evidence suggesting any stolen personal information, including names, emails, addresses, and phone numbers, has been used for nefarious purposes. Just because it hasn't been used now doesn't mean it won't be used ultimately. However, this is quote, however, it cannot be excluded that also depending on the specific personal data exposed for a given customer, the incident may result in attempts of identity theft, phishing, and possibly fraud in general, the notice continued. The records were accessed or taken during a digital break-in that VF disclosed on December 13th. The intrusion disrupted the cobbler makers, that's in a good line, operation and its ability to keep people in fancy outdoor. Sorry, I'm sneezing in the middle of that, so I apologize for that. When VF didn't call the cybersecurity incident ransomware at the time, the wording it used to detail the intrusion in a regulatory finding made it sound an awful lot like a ransomware infection with an extortion demand, which is probably the case. So 35.5 million customers had their information taken. So this is something, again, at this point, everybody needs to just kind of pay attention to all of their personal information because a lot of it has been stolen through a lot of different data breaches. Just understand that that data is out there and you need to take efforts to protect your information where you can. All right, next is from Wired.com, and this is bad news if you're an Apple M series user. Apple chip flaw exposes secret encryption keys. Well, that's not at all good. Apple M series of chips contain a flaw that could allow an attacker to trick the processor into revealing secret end-to-end encryption keys on Macs, according to a new research. An exploit developed by a team of researchers dubbed GoFetch takes advantage of the M series chip's so-called data memory dependent prefetcher, or DMP. Data stored in the computer's memory have addresses, and DMPs optimize the computer's operations by predicting the address of data that is likely to be accessed next. The DMP then puts pointers that are used to locate data addresses in the machines. And that's a lot of gobbledygook about the technical pieces of that. The problem here is that the flaw, which is present in Apple's M1, M2, and M3 chips, is essentially unpatchable because it's present in the silicon itself. There are mitigation techniques that cryptographic developers can create to reduce the efficacy of the exploit. But as Kim Zetter at Zero Day writes, the bottom line for users, there's nothing you can do to address this. So just understand if you have an M1, M2, M3 chip Apple computer, this flaw exists, not being exploited as of yet that I can see, but it's coming. And so you're going to want to pay attention to when these attacks start. How are you protecting yourself, or how can you protect yourself? What mitigation can you take to do that? So it'll be interesting to see where this goes going forward. All right. Next is from Dark Reading, Nate Nelson reporting, why AI obituary scams are a cyber risk for business. Well, that's an interesting headline. Scammers now use AI to instantly whip up SEO-friendly bereavement scams, and it's never been easier to swindle mourners or use them to get to their employees. So this is a new one. This is a new use of AI. And again, important to pay attention to, and it's this kind of intelligence that's important to share with others because people are going to be victimized by this. I haven't even read the article, but it's coming. Two-bit scammers are generating near-instant obituaries for recently deceased strangers, taking advantage of vulnerable loved ones and potentially infecting their devices with malware. A new SecureWorks blog post highlights just how rapidly these fake obits can be created and disseminated, as well as the potential risk that more sophisticated attackers could use the same scheme to cause more serious consequences for victims. Tony Adams, a senior security researcher at SecureWorks, first became attuned to the fake obit scam when a colleague passed away late last month. Quote, I got introduced into this because I was searching for information about the death, and an obituary that got passed around within a friend group was one of these fake obituaries, he recalls. It's a common situation, especially with the speed at which information tends to travel these days. People hear about the deaths of family, friends, and acquaintances, and sometimes days before the official obituary is published. I can say myself, I've done this before, heard of people dying, went to see what the obituary says. Quote, there's going to be a time period when there's a search activity, but no obituary exists yet. And scammers have found a way to sort that information void through SEO manipulation or search engine optimization. It begins as scammers monitor Google search trends and identify potential interest around someone's obit. Then, in the hours just after passing, chatbots are used to quickly create fake obituaries based on publicly available information about the deceased and spread across multiple fake funeral and memorial sites. So what is the problem here, right? What happens? Well, the problem is when you go to it, there's a potential that you're going to a URL that's malicious that could download malware onto your system. And so this is going to be the problem. What's Google doing to help? So Google's trying to take some credit here. To boost their yields, scammers can stuff their fake obits with relevant keywords that push them quickly up the search of Google search rankings. This, though, may be tougher to do now than it was just months ago. On March 5th, Google announced changes aimed at rooting out low-quality spammy search results, at one point specifically referencing obituary scams. Though vague on the details, the company wrote, "We expect that the combination of this update and our previous efforts will collectively reduce low-quality, unoriginal content in search results by 40%. So that's good. Just, again, one of these things to let people know, especially seniors in your life, because seniors, their friends are dying, and you need to let them know to be careful when you go look for obituaries. The best thing, honestly, go to local newspaper sites. Those are going to be your most trusted sources to find the obituaries. But again, people are going to start becoming victimized by this. And so there's going to be more news stories on this as we move forward. Bill Tolis, Bleeping Computer, over 100 U.S. and EU organizations targeted in Strela Steeler malware attacks. A large-scale Strela Steeler malware campaign has impacted over 100 organizations across the U.S. and Europe attempting to steal email account credentials. Strela Steeler was first documented in November 2022 as a new information steering malware that steals email account credentials from Outlook and Thunderbird. One notable characteristic of the malware was using a polyglot file infection method to evade detection from security software. At the time, Strela Steeler was seen targeting predominantly Spanish-speaking users. However, according to a recent report by Palo Alto Networks Unit 42, this has changed as the malware now targets people from the U.S. and Europe. Now, there's a lot more to this article, which I'm not going to get into, but it goes into the infection method and things like that. Really, the only thing it says here from a mitigation standpoint is users should exercise vigilance when receiving unsolicited emails that purport to involve payments or invoices and refrain from downloading attachments from unknown senders. This is common sense information that people don't pay attention to. So again, you need to share this with the people in your lives to be careful about opening links or clicking on links, opening attachments and unsolicited emails. So really this is just a reminder that bad guys are going to figure out ways to get you to want to open things to do bad things to you. Also from scmagazine.com, Steve Zurier reporting, is Cozy Bear targeting Western political parties with phishing attacks? Well, I can answer that. Yes, they are. Phishing emails aimed at stealing political intelligence were sent by the hacking group AP29 or Cozy Bear, and it was alleged, which has been alleged by Western intelligence organizations and have ties to Russian spy agencies. Google Mandiant researchers said in a March 22 blog post it was important because it was the first time they observed APT29's cluster by Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service, or SVR, target political parties to gather foreign political intelligence, and that it was unlikely that APT29's interest in attacking political parties was limited just to Germany. So this was originally a target in Germany, but has now expanded out to other entities. Quote, based on SVR's responsibility to collect political intelligence and this Cozy Bear cluster's historical targeting patterns, we judge this activity to prevent a broad threat to European and other Western political parties from across the political spectrum, the Google Mandiant researchers said. It should be noted that Russian President Vladimir Putin reportedly said last year that relations between Germany and Russia have been frozen, presumably because Germany has offered aid to Ukraine in its war on Russia. So obviously, Russia is going to use its intelligence services to attack those countries that are not friendly to them, which is going to include the United States and most of Europe. So again, it just goes to show that this is activity continues on, and it's not going to be just limited to political parties. It is currently now, but Russia has other nation state oriented APTs, or advanced persistent threats, besides Cozy Bear, that will target commercial entities, critical national infrastructure entities, things like that. So you need to be aware of the threats targeting you so you can assess your risk, proceed wisely. Malwarebytes.com. Since it is, of course, tax season, this is from Peter Arndt, tax scammer goes after small business owners and self-employed people. While most taxpayers don't particularly look forward to tax season, for some scammers, it's like the opening of their hunting season. So it's no surprise that researchers have found yet another tax-related scam. In the most related scam, we've not seen the lure the scammer uses, but it is likely to be an email telling the target to quickly go to this site to apply for their IRS EIN federal tax number ID. EIN is short for Employer Identification Number. The IRS uses this number to identify taxpayers who are required to file various business tax returns. EINs are used by employers, sole proprietors, corporations and partnerships, and nonprofit organizations, trusts, estates of descendants, government agencies, certain individuals, and other business entities. Given the flow of the scam, it's very likely that the targets are self-employed or small business owners, because these self-employed and small business owners need to go find these EINs at tax season, because generally they forget what they are. I have an LLC. I know I always forget, so I have to go figure it out. It's possible that the fisher has obtained or bought a collection of email addresses from a data broker that fit a certain profile. So again, if you're a small business owner, if you're a sole proprietor, be aware of this scam and be on the lookout for it. Be careful where you send information, how much information you put in. You should be able to go to the IRS itself, irs.gov, and get stuff from them. Just again, look at your URL and make sure it's important. It does say how to avoid falling for a tap scam by acting on an email's request. Stop and think about the following. Remember, one, the IRS doesn't ask taxpayers for personal or financial information over email, text messages, or social media channels. This includes requests for PINs, passwords, or similar access information for credit card, banks, and other financial accounts. Do not interact with the sender, click any links, or open any attachments. Refer back to a previous news story. We talked about that today. Send the full email headers or forward the email as is to phishing@irs.gov. Do not forward screenshots or scanned images of emails, because this removes valuable information, and then delete the email. So, okay, be aware, be careful. There's more in this article. I suggest you go read it if you're a small business owner or a sole proprietor. March, these last two are going to be interesting. This is from InfoSecurityMagazine.com. Alessandro Massolino reporting, U.S. Treasury targets Russian entities in cyber influence campaign. The U.S. Department of Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Controller, OFAC, announced on Wednesday the designation of two individuals and two entities for their involvement in aiding the government of Russia in a foreign malign influence campaign. Basically, they make it hard for these entities to do business outside of Russia. The campaign notably included attempts to impersonate legitimate media outlets. Under Secretary of Treasury for Terrorism and Finance Intelligence, Brian E. Nelson emphasized the commitment to uncovering Russian deceptive. Yeah, whatever. Okay. So they're basically trying, they're making it hard for these guys to do business. Great. Whatever. They will find other ways to do it. So this is dropping the bucket for what'll happen. Last one, I'm not going to spend nearly any time on this. Just the headline was humorous, just so I could joke about it. From scmagazine.com, Laura French. UN resolution on AI encourages measures against malicious use. Okay, good luck with that. The U.S., the United Nations General Assembly unanimously adopted its first global resolution on artificial intelligence Thursday. If you want to read more about it, you can. This is going to do nothing to anything for anybody. But hey, at least they're mad about it, and they have a suggestion on how to fix it. And this resolution was led by our geniuses at the United States government. So yay for us. Yippee-ki-yay. Be careful with AI. That's going to do it for this episode of the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. Thanks again for listening. As always, if you have thoughts, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email me, Darren@thecyberguy.com. Follow me on LinkedIn. Check out my Substack. Since I'm running low on time and I want to be able to post this particular audio on LinkedIn on Monday, there will be no outgoing tag. So with that, Stay safe, understand the threats targeting you, and know that knowledge is protection. Have a great rest of your Monday.